shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
The following program is a soundtrack from the video Tares Among the Wheat, an expose on the children of darkness. If you would like a complete copy of this video, we request a donation of $18 for the DVD or $16 for a VHS tape.
The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat.
From the dawn of mankind on earth, there has been a perpetual battle waged between light and darkness, good and evil. The identification of the two forces and those who constitute each force have been intentionally hidden by deception to maintain control and domination of evil over good. In the Holy Scriptures, parables were used to convey important lessons for those who had heard them at that time and for others who were to learn of them in the future. The parables were also prophetic and told of future events. Many have come to pass already, with world events fulfilling part or all of the prophesied details, and others are continual and have been approaching the time when they too will come to pass. One such parable is that of the wheat and the tares. Yeshua the Christ used this parable to demonstrate a very important point, a point that not only has been clearly demonstrated, but is soon to come to a final conclusion. The parable reads in Matthew chapter 13, 24 through 30. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. After Yeshua had delivered the parable to the multitudes, his disciples asked him to explain the meaning of the wheat and the tares. His explanation can be read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 40. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world or world age, and the reapers are the saints. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world or the world age. A major weapon in the war between the kingdoms has been that of infiltration and deception. The infiltration has been by the children of the devil, mingled amongst the children of Yahweh the Almighty Father, to mislead them and cause them to break his laws, which were given specifically to his elect. The identification of the tares today can be determined by the works of those in positions of authority and influence, most of which fall into one category, that category being racial, and determine actions and works which are inherently evil. Historically, religion has played a powerful tool to control and influence the masses, and along with politics has been responsible for wars, death, and destruction in the past, present, and future. The racial identification of the children of the devil are what have been classified as Jews today. Those known racially as Jews are a mixed mongrelized race that encompasses all non-white races, but all of which have a common link. That being, they all have a gene or seed that was passed from Satan to Cain, who later fathered the first white Jews, and has since then passed along to countless mongrel bastard breeds, who are all collectively and inherently evil in their works and deeds, and have all for the most part hated white Christians, who they know are identified as children of Yahweh and are his elect through a purity of blood. This racial purity is emphasized throughout the Holy Scriptures and is something the tares, or the children of the devil, have vowed to destroy. To achieve the destruction, they have introduced doctrines to teach racial intermixing and mongrelization, and falsely set those known as Jews in a superior position. This bastardized doctrine is known as Judeo-Christianity, and has been the most detrimental force plaguing the race of Adam, Yahweh's elect, since its inception. The following is an exposé on such infiltrators who have been tares amongst the wheat.
There have been those tares among the wheat who have deceived many in the name of Christ and have appeared as wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7:15 reads, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravening wolves."
One such false prophet is Billy Graham. Mr. Graham has taught the satanic doctrine of universalism and has bore evil fruit. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit."
Billy Graham is an evangelist. He is not the pastor of any church. He does not favor a particular denomination. He preaches in the world's parks and stadiums, and for 4 days he will be here in the Alamo Dome, where workers are erecting a stage with giant video screens. No one, no rock star, not even a major sports event, has ever filled the Dome's 65,000 seats. But Billy Graham has been breaking attendance records around the globe for half a century. He brings a message that millions crave.
Like a wolf leading the sheep to the slaughter, the false prophet teaches evil doctrines which lead his followers towards the clutches of Satan and his children, the Jews. False doctrines of universalism, which teach that mongrelization of the races is acceptable and God is all love.
What is called the invitation is the ultimate moment of every crusade. It is the moment evangelists believe when souls are saved.
"I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, hundreds of you, as we've done each night, and say, I'm going to give my life to Christ, whatever it costs."
In San Antonio, as they have in every corner of the world for 5 decades, thousands answer Billy Graham's call to bear public witness to their faith in Christ. By doing so, receive the grace to spend eternity in heaven.
"You get up and come. We're going to wait on you. There's plenty of time."
"Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, beast system. And the world, as we know it, passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the work of God abideth forever.
Soon he was traveling the world, speaking to millions of people of all faiths and languages.
Billy Frank, like other lying preachers, are proponents of integration and so-called civil rights, which have always led to race mixing and destruction. The false doctrine of universalism has been extended by Frank to many ruling powers of the world and agents of the devil.
He was a fire and brimstone preacher who favored civil rights. Graham used his friendships with many world leaders, including 10 presidents of the United States, to spread his message. He became known as chaplain to the White House and was often called the evangelical equivalent to the Pope. Along the way, he was criticized for his uncritical attitude toward the powerful and renowned.
False prophet Frank even goes so far as to endorse loving sodomite queers.
And so I don't think that homosexuality should be chosen as the overwhelming sin that we're doing today.
If one of your children had been gay, would you cease to love that child?
No, I would not. I would love him even more, maybe.
If a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. The truth of Yahweh is clear according to the law, and false teachings from Billy Graham and other false prophets are diametrically opposed to the law of Almighty Yahweh, which teaches racial separation and racial purity, to which judgment is also quite clear. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial or Satan, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and thee shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty.
The religion of Judeo-Christianity is the bastardized whore created by Satan's spawn to control and suppress Yahweh's elect through a program of instilled guilt, which has become a pillar of religion and tradition. A manifested inferiority complex has been achieved by propagating the lie that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, and Jesus Christ is a Jew. It is stated that to fulfill prophecy, Christians must serve and worship the Jews in order to be blessed by God.
Well, now I want to introduce our very special guest, Rabbi Yahiel Eckstein, founder and president of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, the organization which is making the freedom flights of On Wings of Eagles possible. Welcome, Rabbi. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm delighted to be here.
Rabbi, I'm so eager to hear some of the stories of real people who've been given the opportunity for a new life in the Holy Land through this cooperation between Christians and Jews. As a Christian, I know that the history of the children of Israel is the unfolding of biblical prophecy in our time. God's promises are coming to pass right before our eyes today as the Jewish remnant is being gathered home from the ends of the earth. But in human terms, these freedom flights from Russia are literally the answers to prayers.
That's true, Nancy.
The Jewish perversion of the law has served to enslave the Christians who have been deceived into breaking Yahweh's law against unholy fellowship with devils and covenant contracts with Jews. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, non-Adamites, as they go a-whoring after their gods, and they do sacrifice unto their gods, and make thy sons to go a-whoring after their gods. And when Yahweh God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
Awesome that in so many cases, these Jewish people are being rescued by Gentiles. Caring Christians like you and me, who are generously helping to make the flights possible through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews program called On Wings of Eagles.
God is bringing the children of Israel home on Wings of Eagles, and you can be a part of it. Today, tens of thousands of Jewish families in the former Soviet Union are waiting, praying, hoping to come home to Israel. Both Jews and Christians are helping to make those prayers come true through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. A gift of only $300 will airlift a Jewish person to safety in Israel. You'll receive a card with the name of the individual you've sponsored and where they were from, so you can keep them in your prayers as they start their new life. Please call the toll-free number on your screen right now and share whatever you can. Today, the window to freedom is open, but it could close at any time. Call our toll-free number today. Whether you can share $300, $600, or only a few dollars, your gift today will mean a new life free from persecution for a Jewish brother or sister. Please call with your gift of love to On Wings of Eagles.
This abominable fellowship with evil could have been better named On Wings of Devils, as the Jews are asked the question, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou children of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the righteous ways of Yahweh? The false preachers who deceived many have bought into the lie of the Jews and have delivered the message of the false salvation to the sheeple who will willingly follow them.
The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is something that we are committed to support, and there's a reason. To begin with, I am deeply committed to the concept of bridge building, for cooperation, agreement, and strong fellowship in purpose among Christians and Jews. It's appropriate that we partner as those who not only join in a bridge-building effort between different communities of faith, but we join with a sense of partnering in the fulfillment of prophecy. May God bless you as you capture this vision.
Titus 1:14 reads, Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And Jewish fables are exactly what the international Judeo liars peddle. The blind leaders of the blind shall fall into the ditch.
Right now, here's a special message from Pat Robertson, a supporter of On Wings of Eagles.
On several occasions, the Old Testament prophets speak of the Northland giving back the Jews that are in it. As a matter of fact, we read that the exodus from the north is going to be so large that it will actually eclipse the exodus from Egypt. And that's why I would urge everybody who is watching this program to participate in a fulfillment of the clear word of Scripture.
It is a time of celebration, a time of miracles, and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Today, thousands of Russian Jews are being delivered on Wings of Eagles to safety in Israel. Both Jews and Christians like you are helping to make it possible, but over 500,000 are still waiting. Please help airlift them to freedom in Israel. Call the toll-free number on your screen with your gift today to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. A gift of $300 will airlift one person to freedom and a new life in Israel. You'll receive a card with the name of the person you're sponsoring and where they were from. Call our toll-free number now while the door is still open. We must remember the Holocaust and do everything in our power to make sure it never happens again. Please call now. Share what you can, whether it's $300, $600, or only a few dollars. Your gift will help in rescuing lives. Call today.
Use of Gentiles, which is the Latin term not even appearing in the original Greek text of the scriptures, has been a title that indicates a third-class slave status, which has been eagerly accepted by many deceived so-called Christians. The satanic tool of deceit has served to elevate Satan and his children, the Jews, to God status, and has freed them from any guilt, which has allowed them to dominate economically, politically, and religiously, all at the expense and assistance by their willing slaves, which they refer to as Shabbaz Goyim. The Jewish holy book, known as the Babylonian Talmud, refers to all non-Jews or Goyim as cattle and are treated accordingly, as our race have been slaughtered like cattle at the hands of the Jewish butchers in the ongoing war between the kingdoms. Yeshua the Christ identified the Jews as being the murderous butchers responsible for all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth. From Satan's son Cain, who murdered Abel, to Zacharias. This bloodshed continues today and will only be avenged upon Christ's return, in which his vesture shall be dipped in their blood. A common structure established among the churches of Baal or Satan is to set a racial Jew tear above the rest of the congregation of deceived sheeple to maintain their inferiority status as subservient slaves to the devil.
He is provocative.
To see the eyes of the one I love in the face of my enemy.
Insightful.
Faith is just not simply trusting in something. It's the belief that I can change a world.
Even humorous.
Or you say vice and people think Miami.
But never boring.
It's not that I think people don't care. It's that people are scared.
Hear biblical scholar David Otto bring the Bible into the 20th century, bringing the scriptures alive.
To reinforce the idolatrous deception, the tares drum into the heads of their willing subjects that the Jews are God's chosen people, and they owe their loyalty and lives to the Jews.
The Christian church grew out of Judaism, but 2,000 years after the birth of the Jewish Jesus.
Another major fallacy that is perpetuated among the Jews' whorish religion is Jesus Christ is a Jew, which they, in effect, call him a devil and relegate him to a second-class status to the impostors, the tares.
David Otto is a professor of religion at Centenary College in Shreveport, Louisiana. David, the entire Old Testament is really a document about the Jewish people, and yet we think of it as part and parcel of our own identity as Christians. So, is Christianity a kissing cousin of Judaism?
To start this discussion, I have a story, which is how I was raised. My father comes from American Reformed Jewish Judaism. My mother was Primitive Baptist.
This was an interesting combination.
It explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, that indeed explains it all, as the serpent has clearly identified himself as a literal child of the devil, and thus his works will expose his evil and nefarious existence. The master and slave program is controlled and maintained by the repetitious references to the Jews as the parents who must control the Christian children, who, in order to be good little children, must obey their masters.
But I was always taught that Judaism is the parent of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that while you may get mad at the parent, you may not understand some of its ways, you may not understand why your parent behaves the way the parent does, you never would want to dismiss the parent or divorce oneself from one parent or belittle the parent.
A key element that exposes the Jews as imposters is their failure to believe in the kingdom of heaven on earth, as they realize that when Yahshua returns to establish his kingdom with his elect, the tear's time is up.
Well, let's talk about Jewish understanding of salvation, because I always think that is a uniquely Christian concept. We have talked with Rabbi Kemmerer about this, and it'd be helpful to hear what he has to say about Jewish faith on salvation.
I think that salvation is not one of those terms that you often hear in Jewish context. Most Jews are not looking to be saved in some future life, because there are two words in Hebrew that I think are helpful to understand. One is Olam Haba, the world to come, and one is Olam Hazeh, this world. And Judaism's always been a very this world religion, a religion oriented towards the here and now, as opposed to what may or may not take place in the afterlife.
The deceitful tares always revert back to their bastardized traditions, despite their attempts to appear as children of light. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and are no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Wouldn't it be fabulous if, as discerning lovers of Christ Jesus, we took the responsibility upon ourselves to learn and live a bit within our heritage as Jews? In many ways, I mean, that's part of who we are, and we need to celebrate, we need to claim that heritage of faith, that in some part we do emerge as children of Jewish tradition, Jewish faith, Jewish law, Jewish ritual.
The next example clearly illustrates how the church corporations have made their temples a den of thieves by openly inviting those who blaspheme the name of the Messiah and curse his holy name.
It might be nice to take a look at a story that comes to us from New York City, from the United Methodist Church of St. Paul's and St. Andrews. They gave shelter to a Jewish congregation whose roof had fallen in, and I think it's a model that we all might, you know, take some stock in.
6 months ago, the rabbis weren't sure what they would do when the roof collapsed at their temple. Experts estimated repairs to B'nai Jeshurun would take at least a year. Until then, they had nowhere to go. That is until Ed Horn heard about their plight.
And when we heard this awful news of the tragedy that had happened to their ceiling collapse, we wanted just to offer to do what we could do. And it turns out that what we could do was offer them a home for their worship and so many of their other programs. Neither congregation has seen this relationship as a host and a guest, as them just renting space from us, but as something that we could symbolize to our city of the way people from different traditions, in this case Jews and Christians, could work together under the same roof to both lift up their own traditions, but also to respect one another. This is a time of such division that we wanted this to symbolize people coming together and dwelling together in harmony, as that banner says.
Christ Yeshua went into the temple of Yahweh and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
This is my understanding of who I am. This is what I'm true to. Let me hear more about yours, and let's look for some common ground. It has long time been the standing of the United Methodist tradition to find and carve out intentional spaces of interreligious dialogue. We have been longtime supporters of this idea of coming together and finding the common ground of faith, celebrating the avenues that God chooses to bring all of the people together.
But
Ecclesiastes 1:9 states, "There is nothing new under the sun," which is the case of the Jews attempting to amalgamate the races and destroy the racial purity of Yahweh's elect, as they did with the Tower of Babel.
It forces us to a position that we have to have a language of priority, and we have to have a language of proclamation that communicates across lines of culture, ethnicity, and belief.
But aren't those dialogues largely aimed to sort of create a one common religion that we can all take part in?
Just as Yahweh's wrath was poured down upon the Tower of Babel, so shall his fury be kindled against those who attempt to destroy his folk. The house of Judah shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, Jewry, a stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall be not remaining in the house of Esau, Jewry, for Yahweh hath spoken it.
One, we provided a space of education, which was that we openly held the festival and sang the songs and in congregation and invited our Jewish brothers and sisters to participate, to see what this was about. And then afterwards, we had an opportunity to discuss what questions they had. And they really asked us pointed questions about what we were doing and why we were doing it. In turn, many of our students went to the temple and celebrated not Hanukkah, but another celebration after the first of the year. And they begin to get a sense that this is very different. So they ask our Jewish brothers and sisters several pointed questions to get an idea of what they were doing, why they were doing it, how is this connected to their sense of tradition, of text, of ritual, of being a people of God. And what we established in that was a conversation that we at Centenary are attempting to continue and hopefully move out into local church.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yahweh.
New Age movement, like its Judeo-Tear co-religions, are no different when it comes to the propagation of Satan's program of racial mongrelization. The lie of equality is one that has been used to deceive Yahweh's children into transgressing the law given unto the white Adamic race against mixing of the blood. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shalt not take unto thy son. It is not surprising that the satanic New Age Baha'i movement is headquartered in a den of serpents, the bandit state of Israeli.
On the slopes of Mount Carmel, in Haifa, Israel, is the world center of the Baha'i faith. Across the bay, outside Akko, is the shrine of Baha'u'llah, the holiest place on earth to Baha'is. Though its world center is in Israel, the Baha'i faith is a worldwide religion. Baha'is have 7 continental houses of worship around the world, from Western Samoa to Kampala, Uganda, Sydney, Australia, Frankfurt, Germany, Panama City, New Delhi, India, to Wilmette, Illinois. Followers of the Baha'i faith are from virtually every race, nation, and culture, united in the celebration of the oneness of mankind. To Baha'is, the earth is one country, and mankind its citizens.
Since the fall of Adam and Eve, Satan has used the tool of race mixing to destroy the pure blood race of Adam by procreating mongrel offspring who, when mixed, no longer have a spirit and are thus disqualified from receiving the eternal promise of salvation for being literal pure blood descendants of Yahshua, the racial redeemer of the white Adamic race. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. A bastard, mixed-breed mongrel, shall not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, even unto the tenth generation.
The Baha'i Faith is the second most widespread religion in the world and comprises easily one of the most, if not the most, culturally and racially diverse religious community in the world. So it is very much a composite of the whole of human society.
This is most interesting, Dr. Anderson, but please tell our viewers why the world center of the Baha'i Faith is in Israel.
You know that Israel is a place of special spiritual significance to many of the world's religions, and the Baha'i Faith is no exception.
The proponents of the New Age Baha'i religion are also advocates of a universal religion, as was attempted with the Tower of Babel, which strips Yahweh's children of their identity as his elect and seeks to destroy them by again soiling the racial purity of the blood. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levite teachers of the law have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even unto the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Pezerites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass."
The Baha'i Faith established as its world center the region of Haifa, Israel, in the late 19th century. Our writings are rich with references to the prophecies of our sister religions, which talk about the coming to life of Mount Carmel, which talk about the emergence of the gathering of all the flocks together and the coming of a new religion. And the claim of Baha'u'llah is that we have reached that time, which he characterizes as the consummation of human evolution, the time of the maturing of all humanity, when the prophecies will be fulfilled, and when a new religion will be established at the foot of Mount Carmel, which will gather together all of the world's peoples in fellowship and harmony, establishing the equality of men and women, establishing the unity of the races, establishing unity among the religions, and helping to contribute to an era of peace and harmony.
In attempt to usurp the authority of Yeshua the Christ, the demonic worshippers of Baha'i have strived to form a false peace with the devil. Jeremiah 6:13-14 reads, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetous, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. For there is no peace for the wicked. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape."
Well, I think Israelis are proud to have the magnificent Baha'i facilities in Israel. And I was just thinking that there are approximately 5.5 million Baha'is in the world, I understand. Tell our viewers what the goals of Baha'i are and what your people are doing.
Of course, the ultimate goal of the Baha'i Faith is to establish the unity and the oneness of all humanity. Baha'is have an extremely optimistic view of the current condition of mankind. Although it seems very bleak, although in many quarters we have lost confidence that we can establish a world free of conflict. Baha'is, by contrast, believe that now is the time for us to exorcise the specter of world war and human conflict and establish an era of peace, which is called for in the teachings of all of the great religions. So Baha'is believe that there must be a model, there must be an example, and we are dedicated, each and all of us, and all of the Baha'i communities, all of the individual Baha'is, to a kind of personal spiritual transformation in the way we live our lives, in the way we raise our children, in the way we conduct our family affairs, in the way that we conduct our community affairs, in our relationships to members of other religions and members of the community at large. We want those relationships characterized by love, by peace, by freedom from conflict, by a demonstrative commitment to the service of all humanity. Among the Baha'i writings, there are repeated injunctions to the Baha'is to be free of prejudice, to be free of sexism, to be filled with a spirit of service to others.
The false prophets of Baha'i deny the perpetual conflict between the children of light, Yahweh's pure blood seed line, and the children of darkness, mixed breed descendants of Satan, by stating that conflict must be resolved, as they fail to realize that the only way to achieve total peace from conflict is for Satan and his brood of vipers' total destruction. Genesis 3:15 reads, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
I'd like to ask you, when did the Baha'i faith develop in the United States?
The Baha'i faith was established immediately thereafter with the declaration of Thornton Chase, a man from the United States, an American, who ironically had been one of the white officers in charge of a black regiment during the Civil War. And so, from the standpoint of our principal belief that we should be free of prejudice and exalt the unity and the oneness of humanity, it is ironic and a happy coincidence that here is a person who had dedicated his life to such a belief and even risked his life for such a belief, only to find a religion the chief characteristic of which is the unity and the oneness of all human creation. One of the most important activities of the Baha'i community now is the distribution of a statement on race unity. The reason that the Baha'i community has published the statement is that we believe that the unity of the races is one of the keys to peace. If we can't establish unity and agreement among the people of one nation, black and white, then our chances for peace are dimmed considerably. But by contrast, the spiritual and social consequences of bringing together people from the polar extremes are enormously important and would require a kind of spiritual and social transformation on the part of all people.
High disciples of the devil assaulted the United States to turn the nation founded upon the principles of racial purity from the law of separation and forcibly integrated and amalgamated the segregation that maintained the unadulterated race of Yahweh by murdering the majority of the white Adamic population in the civil war between the states. It is evident that the Baha'i's existence is based upon amalgamation of the races, which has led to its leaders to align themselves with agent organizations of Satan that have declared war upon the remnant of pure Adamic race and sworn to destroy the purity by forcibly integrating and mixing with the non-white beasts. One such organization of evil is the Jewish-founded NAACP.
Discussion which is not just centered on the conflict of the races, but begins to explain the elements of unity, the elements of peace. How do we begin to unravel the conflict that has characterized these relations for some 300 years and focus on the establishment of brotherhood, of sisterhood, of membership to one social and spiritual family. That's the main idea of the statement on race unity released by the American Baha'i community. We are talking with city leaders and government leaders and people at community level and at universities and everywhere about this statement. Interestingly, Abdu'l-Bahá, who was the son of Baha'u'lláh, the prophet founder of the Baha'i Faith, came to the United States at the turn of the century twice. On his first visit, he addressed the 4th annual convention of the NAACP.
The New Age movement of Baha'i is no different than its Judeo cohorts, and just as the tares of Satan who attempt to establish a one world order, they will all meet the same fate. Thus, with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. But those mine enemies, which would not that I rule over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Jews have used the tool of religion to propagate their lies in the battle against Yahweh and his children of light. The religion of the Jews is a propagation of lusts of their father, the devil, and have served Satan's purposes of evil and decadence. The following exposition is the demented existence of the Tare, Rabbi Harold Kushner. Rabbi Kushner testifies that religion has been a tool to instill guilt, such as the perpetual guilt producer, the so-called Holocaust.
It has been so, in one way, amusing and in one way exasperating for me to hear Protestants, Catholics, and Jews compete with each other as to whose religious education was more guilt-producing. I think God cares about religion.
Kirchner's commentary about religion brings to light the truth that religion is not of the Father, but is of the devil. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
That anyone who's seen the Holocaust or the My Lai massacre cannot utter the words from Isaiah, tell the righteous all will be well with them, because you yourself realize that not all is well with the righteous. So the evidence gets pretty darn equal, pretty quick.
Here you're talking to a man who saw his 14-year-old son die from a genetic disease. You don't have to convince me that this is not the best of all possible worlds. I cannot believe in the existence of a God who's kind of a Santa Claus figure, who knows who's been naughty and who's been nice, and gives you presents if you're good and gives you a lump of coal if you're bad. Now, that God clearly does not exist. You end up saying bad is really good, there is a good reason for the Holocaust, there's a good reason for the child to be born retarded, and so on. No, I reject that totally.
The Jews understand that because they are a bastardized procreation of Satan, they are genetically and racially inferior and are susceptible to certain diseases and genetic defects.
You're talking to a man who saw his 14-year-old son die from a genetic disease. There's a good reason for the child to be born retarded and so on. No, I reject that totally.
Deuteronomy 7:15 reads, Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all of them that hate thee. Every plant which the Father hath not planted shall be rooted up and destroyed.
Had I been present at the creation, I could have told God how to make a better world. And that has occurred to me from time to time.
The truth is that everything is controlled by Yahweh, which he has planned and done for a specific reason and purpose. And for the Jews to reject this irrefutable fact is their attempt to usurp his ultimate authority. In the Jews' twisted minds, they believe that they and their father Satan are above Yahweh God, and all others are under them. Their pompousness is exhibited as they go so far as to proclaim their superiority over Yahweh by stating they could have done a better job creating the universe.
There is a part of me that says, you know, if I were God, I could have come up with a better solution.
The repulsive Holy Book of the Jews states in Baba Mezia 59b, a rabbi debates God and defeats him. God admits the rabbi won the debate. The Jews have attempted to achieve their goal of ultimate control by stating that what is good is bad and what is bad is good. Malachi 2:17 reads, ye have wearied Yahweh with your words, when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he that delighteth in them. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, for put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
You end up saying bad is really good. I can believe that goodness would not be possible unless evil were also possible. Something miraculous happens, and I feel cleansed of the stain of having done something wrong.
To further exempt the Jews from any guilt or obligation to the law, they take a vow each year on the Day of Atonement in a prayer called the Kol Nidre. The Kol Nidre prayer, named for its opening words, all vows, is based upon the declaration of the Talmud, which states, he who wishes that his vows and oaths shall have no value, stand up at the beginning of the year and say, all vows which I shall make during the year shall be of no value.
I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I feel guilty, and something miraculous happens, and a voice inside my head says, yes, but that's not the real you. There is this feeling that comes over me that says, I don't have to be burdened by the stain of the past.
Here, Rabbi Kushner again attempts to deny Yahweh's authority by insinuating that Jews are their own gods.
It's not God's emotion, it's our own self-perception.
Further proof that those called Jews today are imposters is their denial of the existence of the kingdom of heaven, which is a pillar for the true Israelites' faith and identity.
If the Messiah one day shows up, I'll have to admit that Chabad was right. If the Messiah turns out to be a second coming of Jesus, I'll have to admit that the Christians are right. Smart money's against it. I think there's a very strong Jewish tendency to take this world with immense seriousness and postpone any consideration of a world to come, because we, in our physical form, cannot comprehend what that means. The danger of believing too strongly in heaven is that you'll forget to take this world seriously.
Yeshua said to the Jews in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Christ warned the Jews, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. And after the Jews threatened to murder Yeshua again, sending a warning and clearly identifying their origin and their demise, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world.
My creed is, God so loved this world that he commanded us to take it with immense seriousness and not to shrug off the pain and the injustice we see in it in favor of some world to come.
Though the Jews deny the existence of heaven and the final judgment, they accept and believe in hell. References to hell can be found countless times in the Jews' unholy book, the Babylonian Talmud. Rosh Hashanah 17a states, Christians, or Minim, and others who reject the Talmud will go to hell. Yet another reference to hell is found in Gittin 57a, where it repulsively states, Yeshua the Christ is punished in hell and boiled in hot semen. The reason the Jews speak of hell and deny the kingdom of heaven is that they know their true identity as children of hell and know that they will return to which they came. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world age, and the reapers are the saints. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world age. A second witness to the fact that the race of tares are destined for hell is found in Luke 3, verse 9. And already even the axe unto the root of the tree is being laid. Every racial family tree, therefore, not bringing forth good fruit or offspring, is to be hewn down and cast into the fire. Just as the serpent race denies the existence of the kingdom of heaven, so do they deny Yeshua the Christ's return to establish his kingdom on earth. Absurdity and hypocritical beliefs that the Jews exhort are apparent as they attempt to equate the Bible to fairy tales and deny the existence of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is further proof that they are descendants of their father, Satan.
Stories that never happened, fairy tales, myths, are true. In that sense, the Bible is true.
Was there an Abraham? Was there an Isaac? Was there a Jacob?
Doesn't matter.
The twisted tear Rabbi Kushner is but one of many human devils operating for the perpetuation of hell on earth and the kingdom of Satan, which they know is coming to a final end very soon.
You have been listening to a soundtrack from the video Tares Among the Wheat. If you would like a complete copy of this video, we request a donation of $18 for the DVD or $16 for a VHS tape. A selection of other videos are also available.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.